And it's true to say that human beings react to the same set of circumstances or similar sets of circumstances very differently, depending on your preferences, tastes, beliefs, outlook, depending on personality or your present life circumstances. You may react to a certain set of circumstances, a certain situation, very differently to another person. For example, for some people, Brexit is great news. For other people, it's devastating news, depending on your views and your beliefs. The results of the election, for some, is very depressing. For others, it may be elating. Perhaps depending on how important politics is to you. Maybe lesser things, like a rugby match. For some, a rugby match isn't so such a lesser thing, but you may react very differently if England win against Wales or if Wales win against England. I don't know how important that is to you. What about the birth stories and the Christmas narratives? There are differing responses. Zechariah is told by God that his old wife will bear a child, and this child will be filled with the Holy Spirit. And this child will prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah. And Zechariah reacts with unbelief. Cannot accept it, will not believe it. Mary is told by an angel that she will bear the Son of God. And she receives the news. She asks, how can this be? But the Lord tells her. And she believes it. The Lord says it will be by the power of the Holy Spirit overshadowing your womb. And she accepts it. Zechariah, in fairly similar situation to Mary, does not believe the news. He reacts with unbelief. Mary reacts with faith. What about the wise men? They're greatly excited. They travel so far with great anticipation. They see a star. They're exceedingly glad when they see that star. They're longing to see this king that has been born. They believe that he is the Messiah. Herod, he reacts very differently to the news that there will be a king born. He is troubled. He is fearful. Now, the reactions to the cases that I've presented before you in the Gospel of Luke and the Gospel of Matthew are not just a matter of personality or preference or outlook upon life. The reactions are to do with the state of heart. The reactions are to do with how a person responds to the word of the living God and the message of God about his Son, about the revelation of God. It's a question of the heart. It's not a question of a particular view or opinion that you might have. It's a question of how you respond to the Almighty God in his message through his word. You see, the revelation wasn't just to Mary or Zechariah, or to the wise men, or to Herod. But the revelation is to us today. And it's crucial how you respond to the message. If you believe God's word and act upon it, putting your faith in the word of God and in the person of Jesus Christ, that is the greatest thing that you could ever do. If you deny God's word, reject it, that is the worst decision that you will ever make in your life. Now today I want us to consider Joseph and Mary. We're going to look at those passages that we read, the passages in Matthew 1 and Luke chapter 1. And consider this young couple and how they had quiet confidence in God. Quiet confidence in his word. and how they were blessed despite their circumstances. To begin with, think of their circumstances. Joseph and Mary, a young couple from Nazareth, a backwater town in Galilee of the Gentiles. It was a despised place. Do you remember we read in John chapter 1 of Nathanael and how he responds to the message that Jesus is from Nazareth? He says this, "How can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" You see, for a Jew, Nazareth and the surrounding region was a despised place. It was a mixed region where Jews and Gentiles lived, and the majority population was Gentile. They lived in Decapolis amongst those 10 cities, and then they came across on the other side of the Lake of Galilee, and they were mingled amongst the Jewish people. And as a result, the Jews there were less radical, less orthodox, less sophisticated. And they seemed to be a simple people, agricultural, with a very, very different accent. And the Jews in Jerusalem and Judea looked down upon them because they lived amongst the Gentiles. And yet to such a place, God enters the universe, speaking through an angel to Mary and to Joseph. It was a time of spiritual darkness. And yet it was the right time when God was to fulfill his purposes. Now I love this. Who does God come to? Does he come to the wealthy? Does he come to a prince and a princess? Or does he come to somebody living in a great house in Jerusalem, an important person? But God comes through angels to a simple couple living in a poor, despised place. God is no respecter of persons. God chooses the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God chooses the weak things of this world to shame the mighty, to put them down. God chooses the things that are not to nullify the things that are, that no flesh will glory in his presence. Who were the first to see the Christ child? Well, Mary and Joseph, but then who came? Poor shepherds on the lowest rank in society, who often had to work on a Sabbath day. To them the revelation was revealed. Until they were the first to see the Christ child. Isn't this glorious? A person may have very little knowledge of the Bible, and their life circumstances may not be very great, but if God is calling them, and if God is favouring them, there's nothing greater in life than that. The church is never meant to be one type of people and one set of people. The church will have rich and poor, it will have wealthy, it will have the Joseph of Arimathea's and the Nicodemuses, it will have the intellectuals and the rich, but you know, God has said that he's chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith. And so we go around the globe and we see many poor people who love the Lord Jesus sincerely, who've experienced him, who know him. And that must be our cry again. Let's pray for those who are the outcasts of society. Pray that God would work in them. And if you yourself think, well, I don't know much about the Bible, I don't understand it, I haven't had a very good background. You see, for Joseph and Mary, well, yes, they seem to have had some godly background. You see, when Mary sings her song to the Lord, her Magnificat, it's full of glorious truth. But they didn't have all the advantages of people living in Jerusalem. They were just a simple couple. And if you feel that life hasn't been very fair to you, well, that matters not to God. God is no respecter of persons. Now think of Herod, his situation was very different. Let's do a contrast between Mary and Joseph. They had a very simple life. They lived in separate families. Joseph was to become a carpenter. They were to come together and to be married, but a simple life. Herod, he seemed to have everything, but really had nothing. He may have had wealth and prestige and power and status, but he was bound and chained by his lust for power. He was controlled by his irrational fears. Troubled and confused thinking dominated him. When he heard that a king had been born, he and all Judea with him were greatly troubled. He was a maniac. He loved power and he prepared to kill every boy under the age of 2 in Bethlehem, and did so, an awful massacre, because he couldn't cope with the fact that this Christ child would not come to him, this king, because the wise men had deceived him. It doesn't matter what you've got in life. It doesn't matter what status you have. It doesn't matter how important you are. Young people, do not live for wealth. Do not live for the best job. Yes, you can work hard. Yes, you can do, but do not live for that. The love of money is the root of all evil, and it brings so many people down. Live for God. And if he blesses you materially, use it for God and be thankful. But don't live for these things. Joseph and Mary had a much more glorious life than Herod ever had. So let's consider their quiet confidence. Turn with me to Matthew 1, 18 and 19. This is the news that Joseph receives. Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to put her away to a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. What was the news that Joseph had? Well, he was engaged to her. Here it speaks of her being her husband. In one sense, they had a sort of contract. They hadn't yet come together. They weren't living together. And there hadn't yet been a marriage ceremony. But they were pledged to each other. And now he discovers that she is with child. And we know from the scripture that it was because the Holy Spirit had implanted life within her. But at this stage, Joseph did not know that. And being an upright young man, he didn't want to shame her. It was a terrible shame in their community for her to be pregnant before marriage. But he didn't want to make it a scandal. He must have felt awful betrayal, disgrace. He felt it so keenly. God's law had been broken, and this was the one in which the person he loved. And so he thought, well, I'll put her away secretly. The Lord was gracious. Verse 20, we read of an angel who sent him in a dream. And the angel says to him, Joseph, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will give birth and bear. She'll bear a son. She'll conceive and bear a son. And you will call his name Jesus. Why? For he will save his people from their sins. Joseph, he heard the message from God. He believed it. The scriptures were being fulfilled. Isaiah 7, verse 14. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. And he believed God, and he believed his word. And he believed the angel, and no matter what the consequences were for him and Mary, he took her then to be his wife. She now joined him. He didn't have relations with her. He did not know her until Jesus was born. He's prepared to face the stigma of it all. He's prepared to face the accusations, the misunderstandings. But he believed God's word. He had a quiet confidence in God's word despite the circumstances. What does it mean to trust in God? Does it mean an easy life? When we trust God, people may misunderstand us, yet God will be with us. And those who honour God, God will honour. Friends or work colleagues may judge you. You may not go along and do the things that you once did. You will honour God, you will please him. You will trust him. Despite the misunderstandings, but you will never be a loser. We see Joseph, a young man, quietly trusting in God. But then Mary, turn with me to Luke chapter 1. Mary, it was an awesome and terrifying experience for this young girl to have an angel appear to her. The angel comes in, verse 28. Rejoice, highly favoured one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you amongst women. But she didn't know what that meant. She was confused. Verse 29, she was troubled by it. The angel explains to her. He says, Mary, do not be afraid. You have found favour with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. And you will call his name Jesus. He will be great. Be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Now Mary, she asks, how can this be, since I do not know a man? She was a virgin. And the angel says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Highest will overshadow you. That Holy One who is to be born in you will be the Son of God. And she's told that with God, nothing is impossible. Her cousin Elizabeth, in her old age, is with child. And nothing is impossible. And Mary says this, verse 38, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. Isn't that tremendous? Is that your response when you hear God's word? When sometimes there are things difficult in God's word, things that seem impossible, do you say, Lord, I accept your word wholeheartedly. I believe your word. All my confidence is in your word. Do you say, when the Lord says to you, well, this is the implication for your life. If you accept my word, this is the implication. Do you say, Lord, let it be to me according to your word? Do you accept the implications of God's word in your life when you read the word of God? When the word of God is speaking to you? When the word of God is being preached to you and God is saying things to you and you know it's the voice of God? Do you say, Lord, let it be to me according to your word? It's a lovely verse in Isaiah 30 verse 15 that says this, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. I think that describes Mary. She had a quiet heart. She had a confidence in the Lord, and it was her strength. How are you about the future? When God says to you that the future is in his hands, he's prepared good works for you to walk in. He's told you not to worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. He's a loving heavenly Father. Though you may see difficulties along the way and problems, do you trust him? Do you worry about the future? Do you worry about how things will work out? Are you deeply troubled? Or do you put your future in the hands of God? Think of what it meant for Mary. She was later told by Simeon that her future meant that a sword would pierce her heart. It wasn't an easy future for her, but she trusted in the Lord, the God who knows the end from the beginning. You can trust him, you know. You can believe his word. You can really trust him. So we've considered their circumstances this morning. They weren't great. Just a young couple with no money from Nazareth. A possible scandal. Looked down upon by other Jews. Life's circumstances weren't great. But we've seen their quiet confidence in the Lord. And lastly this morning, let's consider that their God. That's why they can have quiet confidence, because of who their God is. He's great. He's glorious. Think of it. God is fulfilling his purposes. Last Sunday morning, you heard a message from the Garden of Eden. There the Lord promised that will come one who would be the seed of the woman, will crush the serpent's head. And now the seed of the woman is being born through Mary. God's purposes are being fulfilled. Abraham was told that the line would be through him, that seed would come through him. And through his seed, all the nations would be blessed. Now the seed was coming, the Christ child in him. Not only Jews, but Gentiles and all nations would be blessed. David was said that it would be upon his throne that this Messiah, this king, would come. In his line and upon his throne he would sit. Isaiah said, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. Micah had declared that he would be born in Bethlehem. "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least amongst the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Hosea the prophet even prophesied that he would come out of exile. Both Joseph and Mary took Jesus into exile in Egypt. And Hosea said, "For out of Egypt I will call my son." Jeremiah the prophet foretold the great lamentation due to the massacre of the baby boys in Bethlehem. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted. You see, the prophets had foretold over the centuries that Christ was coming. This is a glorious God, a God who is Lord of all, whose purposes are being fulfilled. And he's chosen this young couple through whom his purposes will be fulfilled. Now think of it. Jesus, the Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity. Now he comes into this world, he steps into this world, his delight is with the sons of men. From all eternity he's thought of his people who he's come to save. And he humbles himself. God becomes man. The infinite, eternal, ever-blessed God who made this vast universe is contracted. He remains God, but somehow he enters the womb of a virgin. He's fully God. And yet he takes upon himself human flesh. What awesome humility. What amazing condescension. He comes to a vulnerable, weak lady. And he himself becomes weak and vulnerable. He's born as a baby. Now this is an awesome mystery. And Mary is to be privileged to be the mother of our Lord. Verse 28 of Luke 1, "Rejoice, highly favoured one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you amongst women." Verse 42. "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." God was coming to earth, and he had chosen Mary. Jesus came. Jesus lived a righteous life, and he died. He paid for the sins of his people upon that cross. He rose from the dead and he's gone to heaven. But he's not left his people as orphans. He sent the Holy Spirit to dwell amongst us, and God is with us. God tabernacles amongst us. The Spirit of God is with us. The angels were staggered that the Son of God should come. He said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. This was a time of favor. This was a time when the Son of God would come to rescue us from our sins, to give us a hope and a future. He'll become sin for us, who bear the wickedness and the vileness of our sin, who pay the full price of our sins, taking them to himself and taking God's judgment against our sins. He would die in agony upon that cross, forsaken by his Father, because he loved us, because he came to rescue us. He'd not just come for people like Joseph and Mary to show them favour, but he came to bring blessing to the world, as Abraham prophesied. Through his seed, all the nations will be blessed. But you know, it depends on you, on your response to the message. You can ignore the message. You can doubt the message. You can forget the message. You can trample upon the message. Or you can receive the wonderful good news that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And if you're a sinner, you can call upon him to save you. Mary believed the message. Joseph believed the message. He called him Jesus, which means he will save his people from their sins. You cannot be neutral. I would say to you this morning, do not remain in unbelief. Trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and your God and your Saviour. Come to him, and he will not turn you away. He will forgive you. Embrace him. He's the God of the weak and the lowly and the humble, the God of the crushed, the God of all those who confess their sins and come to him. May that be true of you. Amen.